And that doesn't conclude this prophecy. In verse 19, I read, "Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city." Now, this is a remarkable prophecy, as you can see. And also, if you put with it the prophecies of Daniel, you'll find out that there was to come one out of Israel, and that he was to be the Messiah. And Daniel gives the approximate time that he was to come. So that when you put all of these together, Daniel likewise prophesied in the East that it would be more or less of a very natural experience for these wise men who were studying the stars. They gave a great deal of time to the study of them, that they come out of the East and they come with this question concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus. And of course, the thing that makes it doubly remarkable is that the very people who had the Old Testament with all of these prophecies and were told to look for the coming of the Messiah, they were not looking for him. Actually, as a nation, they were not. Oh, there were Anna in the temple and Simeon. They were looking for him to come, but it was the minority, that silent majority, were silent in that day also. They had nothing to say, and they were not looking for him to come. But here are these wise men, and as we indicated before, there weren't three wise men that came. Three wise men would not have caused a commotion in Jerusalem at that time, but 300 would have. And we have every reason to suppose that there would be nearer 300 than three. 300 wise men coming into town would certainly be exciting. There wouldn't be enough Holiday Inns and Howard Johnson motels to put them all up. It would be rather exciting. And it would have stirred Jerusalem, which it was stirred at that particular time. You see, these wise men came from all over the East and converged upon Jerusalem. But when they got there, they didn't know what direction to go. But they did know to come to the capital city, because the star was to rise out of Jacob. I consider this quite remarkable, and I consider this very thrilling Christmas story. However, the Lord Jesus apparently was not born on December the 25th to begin with. And the second thing is, the wise men didn't come at the time of his birth. When we studied Matthew, I called attention to the fact that when the wise men got there, he was in the house. When the shepherds came down, he was in the stable. So he had been moved and was in a house at the time. The pressure of the taxing that had been made was over, and there was accommodations for them to live in a house. And that took place afterward. And the very fact that old Herod wanted to put to death the children 2 years old and under indicates that it was some time after the birth of Christ that the wise men got there. So that we don't necessarily need to associate them with the Christmas story, yet we've always done that because they have come at the birth of the Lord Jesus. They saw a star when it appeared in the East, you see. And it wasn't an eastern star either, by the way. It was a western star. They were in the East, and they were looking west, and they came west. You see, it was that star beckoning them to come west, and not Horace Greeley of the New York Sun, who years ago said, "Go west, young man, go west." This star is the first one that motioned them into the west. And so they came to Jerusalem, naturally to the capital, looking for him, and then they went down to Bethlehem because the scribes were able to give them the prophecy of where he was to be born, and they found him down there. And he wasn't just a little baby at that particular time. When I say a baby, I should say an infant, I guess. He probably was a year old. He could have been several months old at that particular time. Because, you see, they saw the star at the birth. They came by camel. Friends, they weren't traveling by jet. Pan Am was not running flights through that area at that particular time. So they came by camel. And they got there months after the Lord Jesus was born, you see. So this fits into that story, and I've spent time with it for that reason. Now you will find that a very interesting thing is said about Balaam. He certainly didn't satisfy this man at all, that is Balak, the king of the Moabites. And we read verse 25, "And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way." And it's a very strange statement that's made of Balaam. It says he returned or went to his place. And there's only one other man in Scripture that says that of, and that's Judas. Judas went to his place, we're told. And Scripture's pretty silent about that. Now we have here the end of this man Balaam, by the way. Later on in a battle, he was killed. We are told over in the 31st chapter of Numbers at verse 8, "Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword." That is when they were fighting Midian and the five kings of Midian over farther to the east. And this man, Balaam, was slain and like Judas, went to his place.